Good morning. Welcome to Independent Bible Church here in Duryea. So glad to have each one of you here this morning worshiping with us on this, the Lord's Day. We're going to go ahead and begin our morning service. It's 10:30 for those that may be watching by way of live stream. Welcome. Glad to have you as part of our church family here this morning. Do we have anyone that is visiting, first time visitor perhaps? Maybe you're visiting family in the area. Maybe you're from the community and have stopped by today. Is there any first time visitor here today? I don't think I see any, but sometimes I can overlook folks. We're glad to have you here, whether you're a member, attendee, whether you've been with us before. We're glad to have each one of you here this morning for this, the Lord's Day. Can you believe it's August 11th already? All right, going pretty quick here. How many ready for school? Man, Mike's got his hand up over here. What's he doing? Is he working on his doctorate? I don't know what he's doing, but happy anniversary, by the way, to Mike and Annie over here. All right, Mike and Annie's anniversary today. And I hope they have a special day in the Lord. Well, again, we're glad to have each one of you here. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand as we begin our service in a word of prayer. We're going to have one of our deacons, Nathan Gill, come up this morning and begin our service in prayer. After that prayer, stay standing for our first hymn.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come. Lord, we pray that we're taking the time each day, each week, to spend some time with you. But this time that we can gather together now in your house with fellow believers, we thank you for that. We thank you for the privileges that we have in this country to still do that. Lord, I pray that you would be preparing our hearts even now through the time that we've had in Sunday school, through the time that we'll have in song here, through special music that we may have. Lord, that we would be ready and receptive to hear what Pastor has from your word, that you would speak through him, give him the words to speak this morning, and may we apply it to our lives as we leave here later on. We pray in your name. Amen.
All right, let's take our hymn books and turn a whole way to page number one, all right? hymn number one. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Here we go.
Rejoice, the Lord is King. Your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and
seated as we sing this time, but hymn number six, I sing the mighty power of God. All three stanzas.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, little the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his coming. pay the crown I dread, or gaze upon the sky.
On the last, there's not a plant or flower below, but make thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all abhors thy from is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present Bethany. We're going to take our hymn book one more time, and this time we'll turn to hymn number 46. Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 46. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the let's have just the ladies on a second, just the ladies now. on the third. Crown him the Lord of life, or triumph o'er the grave. Who rose victorious through the strife, for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, O died and rose on high, O died eternal life to bring, and list that death may die. Everyone on the last, crown him the Lord of heaven, one with a Father known, one with the Spirit through him came from his throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. He thou, Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And just before the message this morning, we do have special music. And this song is taken from Mark chapter 11 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." The title of this song is Have Faith in God. Do you ever feel downhearted or discouraged? Do you ever think your work is all in vain? Do the burdens thrust upon you make you tremble, and you feel that you will not the victory gain? Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Those storms of life your path assail. His word is true. He cares for you. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It is always darkest just before the dawning. Silver lining shines on God's side of the clouds. All your journey he has promised to be with you. Nothing comes to you but what his love allows. Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Those storms of life your path assail. His word is true. He cares for you. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God is mighty, he is able to deliver. Faith can victor be in every trying hour. Fear and care and sin and sorrow be defeated by our faith in God's almighty conquering power. Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Those storms
realms of life your path assail. His word is true, he cares for you. Faith in God.
I invite you to turn to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai. Do you know where it's at by now? Do you have it marked? Does your Bible open automatically? I hope it does. The book of Haggai, chapter 2. If you need to use one of our pew Bibles, they're right there in front of you. Page 1317. 1317 in the pew Bible. 1317. The book of Haggai, chapter number 2. Here this morning. So good to have each one of you here on this August 11th, the Lord's Day. What a privilege we have to gather together. What a privilege to have the Bible, the entire Bible, right there at your hand. The completed scriptures, the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God. We live in the dispensation of the church. We have the completed scriptures. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. The Lord has promised, I am coming again. Wow. All right. And then we just sang tremendous hymns, some of the great hymns. Rejoice, the Lord is King. I sing the mighty power of God. Crown Him with many crowns. Have faith in God. I mean, we should have the invitation right now. Have faith in God. Because, you know, all that ties in with today's message. And I'm glad to have you here today. Those that may be watching from home, maybe sickness, a shut-in, you're discouraged. You want to meet with the body of Christ, as God has commanded. You haven't been able to do so. Have faith. Trust the Lord. I trust today's message will be a help and a challenge and a conviction to you, what God's laid on my heart. Haggai, we're in chapter number 2. We're looking through this little book. We're already getting close to the end, but today we're going to look at verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9. And this particular truth that the Lord has spoken to me to share today. So we looked at some of these verses last week, but we're going to continue a little bit farther than we were. So I want to encourage you to read along with me. The book of Haggai, chapter number 2. And the Bible reads, starting in verse number 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, much of verses 6 through 9, I believe, is future events, yet still to take place. Referring to the millennial temple, things not yet finished. Don't believe that what has been promised here has in any way been accomplished yet. I will shake all nations. The desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house, the temple. Don't believe that's happened yet. So God is prophesying about future events yet to happen. But we'll look at that. But my main theme is, did you notice any repeated phrase through those verses? Did you pick up on anything? At the end of verse number 9, verse 4, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, thus saith the Lord of hosts. End of verse 7, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 8, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse number 9, saith the Lord of hosts twice. You know, sometimes we'll read our Bible and I didn't even see that. Oh my goodness. That means it's time to step up the Bible reading. But there in just a few verses, we see that name of our God, the Lord of hosts. I referenced it briefly last Sunday, but I want you to know that's the theme of today's message. The title is, if you're taking notes, Our Great God, the Lord of Hosts.
We're going to zero in on that name, the Lord of Hosts. Now, we're going to do a little bit of turning here. Most of it will be pretty close to Haggai, but I want you to turn with me. I don't want you to just take for granted what I'm going to tell you. I want to hear those pages rustling. So let's go back to chapter 1 of Haggai. Just maybe on the same page for you. It may be one page back. And I want you to notice the repeated use of this name in this book. Verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of Hosts. Haggai 1:2. Thus speaketh the Lord of Hosts. Look at verse 5. Now therefore thus saith the Lord of Hosts, consider your ways. Verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of Hosts, consider your ways. Verse number 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of Hosts. Verse 14. Look at the end of it there. And did work in the house of the Lord of Hosts. Wow. We just read five or six more uses in verses, chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of Hosts. And finally, look at verse 23, the last verse of the book. In that day, a future day, saith the Lord of Hosts. Wow. Now, wait a minute. There are no accidents with God. God is the author of the Bible. Every word of God is God-breathed. So God has chosen to use this particular name, this particular title for Himself in this particular book. In fact, not just in this particular book. Take a look, perhaps on the next page, Zechariah, the very next book of the Bible. The same prophet who prophesied along with Haggai to the same group of people. And you'll see this theme repeated again and again. Look at verse 3, Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of Hosts. Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of Hosts. And I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of Hosts. And we could see verse after verse. We will not do that today. Chapter 1 of Zechariah, chapter 2 of Zechariah. Wow! Now that title, the Lord of Hosts, is never used in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. It's not used in all the Torah or the Pentateuch. God has many names, but He chose not to use that name in those books. The first time that name will be used is in 1 Samuel. And then you will see it repeatedly, especially here in these minor prophets and major prophets, books that we have looked at in our Wednesday night Bible study recently. That name must be important. Why is God choosing to use that? It must be meaningful. Why does He use it so often? In fact, that's the only name He uses in the book of Haggai. The Lord of Hosts. Now, God has many names, many wonderful names. But that's not the name He has chosen to use. The Lord of Hosts. Now, you'll see in your Bible that Lord is capital. L-O-R-D, all capitals. When you see that, that always means Jehovah, Yahweh, the great name of God. But now we have something added to it. It's Jehovah of Hosts. That word host is the idea of the word Sabaoth or Sabbath. Not Sabbath, but Sabaoth, S-A-B-A-O-T-H. That word there is the Hebrew word for armies. Always refer, and when it's referring to armies, it's not always talking about God. The host, the armies. It could be physical. It could be the host of heaven, the innumerable angels. It has the idea that God is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Almighty One. He is the Lord of hosts. Wow. That's the name He's using repeatedly in the book of Haggai to this small remnant. Building a small, not that beautiful looking compared to Solomon's house of the Lord. And He keeps saying to them, be strong, saith the Lord of hosts. Fear not, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, there's a reason God is using that word. That name, Lord of hosts, is used 59 times in the book of Isaiah. It's used 80 times in the book of Jeremiah. It's used 46 times in the book of Zechariah. And it's used 24 times in the book of Malachi. Wow! Why, then, is God using that particular title at that particular time, especially in Isaiah and Jeremiah and books that we've recently, things that are often prophesying the future, books that deal with the captivity and God's judgment And the small group that comes back, why is he using that name when the Babylonians are in charge and the Assyrians seem to be in charge? Why is he using that when the Medes and Persians seem to be in charge? Why is God using that title so many times in these books? Saith the Lord of hosts. What is the significance of that name? That's what we're going to look at here this morning. Many of you, a hymn we almost sang, but we didn't this morning, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Many of you know stanza number 2 there toward the end, Lord Sabaoth is His name. You know that as he's talking about a mighty fortress and the devil and, oh, what's His name? Lord Sabaoth is His name. The Lord of hosts. What's the significance of this title? Well, wrapped up in that name, Jehovah Sabaoth, is sovereignty. God is ruler of all. It's omnipotence. He is all-powerful. We just sang that. I sing the mighty power of God. Omniscience. God is all-knowing. Does God know what's going on today in the world? Does He know? By the way, the world's more than the United States, in case we don't understand that. Does He know what's going on in the United States? Does He know what's going on in the White House and the Senate? Does He know what's going on in the palaces around the country? Does He know? Oh my goodness, God, of course He knows. He's the Lord of hosts. Does He have things that can... Did He know what was going on when the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar were ravishing? Of course He did. Did He know what was happening when the Assyrians or the Egyptians or the Persians or Alexander the Great? Did He know what was going on in the Roman Empire? Of course He does. They're all in His hand. He's the Lord of hosts. He's ruler over the hosts of heaven, the innumerable angels of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the universal ruler over every force in heaven or in earth. That is the title, the Lord of hosts. And when you have this group of small remnant residue, and again, we said 50,000 came back. How many of those are actually able to work? Not that many. When you reduce the elderly, the children, ladies, different things. I don't know how many are working on the temple. And this doesn't even come close to Solomon's grand temple. And they're discouraged. And the old guard is saying it's not like it was. And it's, oh my goodness. And the Lord sends Haggai and later Zechariah and says, be strong, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Fear not, saith the Lord of hosts, so that God's people would be not defeated, would receive energy and strength and not be afraid. And we see that name used so many times. Can I give you a few other examples of when that's used? Would you hold your spot here? I won't make you turn much today, but I want you to see this one. You got to go back to 1 Samuel 17. Now, when I say 1 Samuel 17... 1 Samuel 17, I hope that those who've been saved for any amount of time, you know exactly what 1 Samuel 17 is. Well, that's perhaps the most famous story in the Bible, certainly among young people. I didn't say the most important story. I said it's probably the most famous story. It's David and Goliath. Oh my goodness. We have the mighty giant, the champion of the Philistines. The entire army of Israel. I don't believe they were all cowards. And even the king are scared to death of this giant. And then we've got the young shepherd lad who comes, right? And that story we know, but you know where I'm going with this. Maybe you don't. When David runs to meet Goliath, and Goliath sees this ruddy little, he thinks the Israelite army is sending this little kid out to mock him, to make him look like a fool. What do you think you're doing? It's like sometimes if you played basketball, I can remember our coach one time, our big rival, we had two big rivals, York Christian and Harrisburg Christian. And Harrisburg Christian one year had a great player, and we just couldn't beat him. That guy, he was great. And the one time he said, all right, they'd beaten us like 5 or 6 in a row, so we got him at home. This is one of the last games of the year. I remember he picked Brian Gross, one of our guards, senior guard, small guy, small little scrawny guy, all right? And he said, you're going to jump ball. Against their guy. He was their star, and he was a big guy. What? You go right out there, you get in that circle. He said, but I don't even want you to jump. I just want you to look at him. And he said, I want you on him the entire game like a fly. And now he was using that for like what, intimidation? Maybe like, okay, buddy, we're going to show you. And you know what? We won that game. sort of got in his head. The guy got frustrated. All right. I mean, he was like a little fly everywhere he went. You know, I remember that. You get out there, we're going to show you. Well, Goliath thought this little runt was coming out there to mock him. And when he gets mad and he starts cursing and using profanity, and well, I'll show you. I want you to notice David's response, verse 45. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something about that young man who was a man after God's own. A man has nothing to do with your age, by the way. A man after God's own heart. I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. You know what happens when, usually when we're scared? Maybe some of you remember getting in some fights when you were a kid. Maybe the neighborhood kids, you're running around, you're playing games, getting in a fight. I wasn't out. No, I tagged you. No, I didn't. Or some bully or some big kid coming out to you and trying to, oh my goodness. You know, a lot of times, what do? You look behind. All right, am I, any buddies around still with me? You look back. All right, you got anybody bigger? Is my big brother there? All right, you know what? And if you look behind you and you see big brother or you see dad, you know what? You get a little cocky. I'm not afraid of you. I got dad. Dad's right back there. I got my big brother, man. You're nothing. All right? That's the idea, as silly as it may be. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm not scared of you, will I? And David's not just blowing smoke here. I'm not afraid of you at all. I don't care what weapons you have. I come in the name of the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts. Whoa. And we know what happened. And we're like, wow, that's really neat. That's incredible. Why can't you do that? I'm not talking about physical giants today, but there's some in this room. You and I have been saved for years, and you can't get victory over giants in your life. At least that's what you say. I can't do it. Of course you can't do it. David couldn't do it either. He did it in the name of the Lord of hosts. He conquered today. There's giants of lust and anger and bitterness and fear and worry, and we're petrified and they run our lives like Goliath. They just boom, and we do all the stuff and we sort of play the Bible. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He's proven himself faithful before. I've been tested before with the lion and the bear. He showed himself faithful. I know it's not me. I didn't kill the lion and the bear. It was God that did it. And God's going to do the same thing today. And we saw a great victory and encouraged those that were timid and on the back. I want to look at that theme today. I want to just give three simple truths. Three simple truths today that tie in with God is the Lord of hosts. So let's go back to Haggai there and I'll sort of get the idea of what's going on here. I would encourage you, if you really want to study this, why don't you study the Lord of hosts? Why don't you start going back and reading some of the books that maybe you already read this year as you went through the Bible, or you already read going through it, and go back and pay particular attention to that name. Maybe use a highlighter. Maybe you begin to say, whoa, the power of that name. I see it all the time in the Bible now. I'm seeing it again and again. Now, you won't really see that name used in the New Testament. Obviously, the New Testament's Greek written originally. But you will see that same idea, especially in the book of Revelation. Isn't that interesting? You see the name of Lord of hosts in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, books that are constantly talking about that day, that day, that day, in that day, when I come back, in that day. And then you get to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and you see that name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the conquering Lord coming back, everything's under control. Children of God, I've given this to you, so you need not be afraid. It's for you. Blessed is he that readeth and keepeth the book of Revelation. You don't need to be afraid. I'm the King. I'm the Lord of hosts. Wow. And now that all makes, I hope, a little bit more sense when we come to this book of Haggai. That's the name God uses repeatedly to tell these folks what they need to do. I know, but we don't have that many people. I'm the Lord of hosts. I know, but there's enemies all around us. I'm the Lord of hosts. I know, but we don't have a lot of, I'm the Lord of hosts. I know, but what they told us to stop. It could do it again. I'm the Lord of hosts. I know, but what happens? The Lord of hosts. Not just a name to say, not just to do on the tip of our tongue, not just to sing, I sing the mighty power of God, and 1 second after it's over, we're scared again. I sing the mighty power of God. And then we go home today, boom, and we get so scared because of a financial thing. Now, if you're in financial hole because of own bad habits, you're not living by biblical truth, you're not honoring God, that's on you. But if not, is God able? He's able. Or we'll sing, crown him with many crowns, and then one little thing will pierce us with fear. Wow. Because our God is the Lord of hosts, I want us to have three truths that all believers should claim. Now again, this message in its entirety is to God's people. Just as the message here in Haggai was for God's people, specifically the children of Israel. This message today is for those that are children of God. You're saved. You're born again. If you're not here today, you're watching, and you are not a child of God. He's still the Lord of hosts, but he's not your Lord of hosts. He's still God. He's still sovereign. He doesn't lose any of his power, but he's not yours. You can only hear about it. You can go home and try to claim stuff, but you're not in his family. You're outside of his family. You need to be born again. You need to become a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him so that he will become your Father as well as your God, the great Lord of hosts. Three truths for you to claim if you're a child of God, young or old. New believer, seasoned believer. What are those three truths? Number one, I never need fear or be afraid. Three truths to claim because God is our Lord of hosts. Number one truth, I need never fear or be afraid. Now, you may be writing that down or you just may be listening. Because he is the Lord of hosts, every child of his should never be afraid or ever fear. Now, you might say, I don't know about that. Well, have you studied fear in the Bible? Do you know how many times it's mentioned? Do you know what he says about it repeatedly? How about Isaiah 41:10? Fear thou not. Now, what does that mean? Fear thou not. Do not fear. If God says fear thou not, he doesn't want us to fear. For I am with thee. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. Wow. I mean, that's not the whole verse, but we could read many, many verses in the Bible. What did Jesus repeatedly say to his disciples and to those in the Gospels? Where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith. I do everywhere. Where is your faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. How about claiming those verses? God hath not given us, that's written to believers, the spirit of fear. So if God didn't give us the spirit of fear, when you get the spirit of fear, where does it come from? Not of God. Wait a minute. I got all this fear. It's not of God. I'm not talking about claim it and name it and prosperity gospel. Sometimes we get scared to preach on certain things because, well, that's what they say. You know, name it and claim it. You'll never fear, never be sick. I didn't say any of that stuff. I didn't say you wouldn't be sick. I didn't say you wouldn't be killed. I didn't say you might not die. I didn't say there wouldn't be persecution and tribulation. God tells us all about that kind of stuff. I didn't say there wouldn't be hardships. I didn't say you wouldn't be lonely. But if God said in his word, I have not given you the spirit of fear, and there are fear nots repeatedly in the word of God, then that means whenever I have that fear come up, whether it's, I don't know how to talk to someone about Jesus. God's called me to preach, but I'm afraid. God wants our family to leave everything behind and go on the mission field. God wants me to, he laid on my heart a certain amount of money, and I don't know that we have that. God wants me to take a stand at church or my workplace. What could happen? I need to confess some things to my parents. Oh, anything like that, simple or big. The spirit of fear. God's convicted my heart to go forward. What do people think? I need to go talk to the spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear is not from God. That's from the devil. It's from your flesh. It's not of God. As a child of God who has the Lord of hosts, I need never fear or be afraid. I don't need to be afraid of the unknown. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in America? What's going to happen in the world? Can I say this kindly, but gently, but authoritatively? The same thing we would tell teenagers if I was working with teens again as a full-time youth pastor. The same thing I say. Turn off your phone. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Just live for you, live in your family. Enjoy your family. Work. Get in church. Pour yourself into the work of the Lord, and you'll be amazed at how less fear you'll have. And we're afraid to tell adults that, but adults are many times as My former pastor used to say, all adults are grown-up teenagers. They're just grown-up teenagers, and some of them are carrying into their adult life the same bad habits they had as teenagers. And they are just as afraid and just as angry and just as bitter and just as worldly as when they were teens. Now, some have been saved since then. But can we say this kindly? You would be amazed at what would happen in your week if you just put the phone down, stayed off social media, turned off the TV, the radio, the magazines, and had no idea. We got to know everything. No idea what's going on other than just your family, your church, and your job. You'd be amazed sometimes at how well you'd sleep, how much more focused you're on others, your burden for the lost. And to get under control. I'm not saying throw your TV away. We don't need to keep up with politics and know what people to vote for, obviously. But some of us are so wired on that. We live in fear, and you know, all the words we use all the time are stressed and anxious, and we can't sleep, and we have a lot of health. Listen, we have the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Not, and that's not just a little thing in our back pocket, a little lucky penny. We just pull it out when we need Him. He is the Lord of hosts always. We need to look to God. If God be for us, Romans 8:31, who can be against us? I mean, these verses are verses everybody in the room knows. You can probably, I can start it, you can finish it. But that's not enough to start it and finish it. There enters into something, and it's called faith. A song which I had no idea he was going to sing. He had no idea what I'm going to preach on. Have faith in God. You see, if you will never take a step of faith, you will never see God work. How can you? How can you see God work if you won't take a step of faith? God works through faith. So some of you have never seen God work. I mean that with all my heart. You've never seen it. You've heard other people talk about it. You've heard pastors and missionaries. You've read books. But you personally have never taken a step of faith by putting your faith in the Lord of hosts to help you. Some of you never have shared the gospel with anybody, ever. You're controlled by fear. Fear keeps you from doing what God says. When are you going to take a step of faith and trust God to help you and to do it? When are you, some of you, going to take a step of faith maybe in your parents? Some of you, parents, you won't parent God's way. You won't, by faith, believe what God says about child rearing. Why not? What's so scary to believe God for? Put your faith in that, or faith in your marriage, or faith for your job, or to take a step of faith if God's worked in your heart in the ministry. I don't know what it may be. It may be something little. It may be something big. We need to look to God. We need to look to the Word of God. We need to read and meditate upon His Word. We need to pour ourselves into our homes and families for the cause of Christ. Pour ourselves into our church family. We need to see God work. We need to get excited for the lost. We need to trust the Lord of hosts. Why was David not afraid of Goliath? I mean, think about it. We're talking, the Bible says in that chapter, every single man in the military, every one of them, including the king, were afraid and timid. I'm sure you and I would have been too, probably. Except David. You say, well, why was David not? Now, he didn't know what he was getting into. Oh, yes, he did. His focus was not on God. I'm sorry, his focus was not on the enemy. It was not on the enemy's weapons. Remember what he said? I always think about it. I've never done a message on that. I was going to do it years ago. If you said, all right, you know, sometimes you come up, you got to pick, you know, pick who you want on your team. Remember those days? You pick the biggest and the best and the best. Yeah, you know. And or if you could pick some weapons. You know, over here you've got three things. You've got a sword, a spear. Whoa. Oh, and over here you've got a little bag and some rocks and slingshots. You know, well, of course we're going to go over here. This is the good stuff. I mean, you want a spear and a sword and a shield. I mean, you're going to win. And over here, no, but he said it has nothing to do with that, David said. It has to do with the God of hosts. I'm coming to you with His power and what He wants, and it's not going to be a problem. And of course, we know it wasn't a problem. David focused not on the circumstances or the size of the enemy, but on his God. Be amazed. You'd be amazed. So, there's people in this room, I think you do. You love God with all your heart, but you don't have any burden for the lost. You go a whole week, you don't even think about it. I mean, never once. Don't even think about even going out with the church. It's not that you're an evil, wicked person. It's you're so caught up in everything else. And some of the other stuff is just life. You're right, jobs and pressure. But you're so caught up in all of that. And you might even still read your Bible, do your checklist. But you don't really see God. Your life is so routine. It never really changes. You're very comfortable in that routine. It's been that way for years. But you don't see God work. Not really. Maybe an occasional answered prayer here and there, but other people could be praying about it, so you can't be confident that he answered your prayer. If other people are praying, he might answer their prayer. You've never seen God just, oh my goodness, a step of faith. Overcoming some of that fear. Because he is the Lord of hosts, all believers, all children of God should never, ever fear or be afraid. Absolutely not. Number two, second truth to claim, because God is our Lord of hosts, second truth, I am never alone and never will be. Not only do I should never fear, you say, well, Pastor Boyer, what if I do fear? I mean, I'm human nature, you're right. What do I do if I begin to fear, Lord of hosts, the Word of God? How can you can't meditate on things you've never memorized. You have to memorize the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. You have to be so familiar with it that that's the first thing that pops in your mind. The Word of God, that the Holy Spirit can arm that with when you get to be afraid. You've saturated yourself with the Scriptures so much that the Holy Spirit just takes that and brings it to calm those fears down. Lord's with me. The unknown doctor's appointment, the surgery, what could happen, all right? The step of faith of leaving a job that you're secure in, of answering the call, of whatever it may be. I know the Word of God. I'm never to be afraid. Secondly, though, I'm never alone and never will be. Now think of that truth. If I'm a child of God, I'm never alone. God doesn't follow me around. God's everywhere. God's so big. That's the idea of the Bible. The idea of the Bible is not that God, sometimes we teach it incorrectly, and I probably did for you. It is not that God's omnipresent. He'll fall in everywhere you go. David, you better watch it. Wherever you go, God's there. Oh, he's in the car with me. He's in the... Now, I know we use that sometimes, but the idea, though, is that God's not a person like you and I to follow us. God is self-existent, the all-existent one, the all-powerful one. He is everywhere. His substance is everywhere. He doesn't even have to move. Wherever you go, anywhere, God is already there. That's the idea of God. The idea is not, you know, that's why people are fearful. You hope good Christians mean well. We had a young, Sydney feels called of God to be a missionary. And she announces it to the church. And she believes God has called her. And she mentions a country that's dangerous. And us here in America, we mean well. We say, well, bless her heart. She's pretty young. She doesn't know about that. Don't you want to go to a safe country? What did you mean, safe country? America? Is that safe? America's safe. What do you mean, safe? Well, go to like a, you know, Australia. I mean, not to, you know, or England. But you don't want to go to some of the, you know, Somalia or yeah, some of these Middle East countries. Well, you could get... Now, we might mean well, but that's a shallow, immature believer. What are you saying to her? What are you trying to tell her? God's not over there in Somalia? He's more powerful in the U.S. He works stronger in Duryea. He's not able to work in that country. He's not there. So therefore, she needs to be afraid. You got to be careful. All right? We say that, but that's a person that doesn't understand the Lord of hosts. Don't you understand what motivated missionaries, if you read missionary biographies? Why did they go to those countries? Why did they give up their lives? Because of the Lord of hosts. They weren't afraid to die and the cannibals. They weren't afraid to go to some country far more dangerous than we have today, by the way, if you've done any reading of pioneer missionary work. Far more dangerous than any country today. They counted not their lives dear unto themselves. We're studying the Apostle Paul, who went into places where he could be killed at any moment. The Lord of hosts. You say, man, I could never be Paul. He's so fearless. He's going into those countries. I mean, who would you think? He didn't. What did he do special? He's got the Lord of hosts with him. I need never as a child of God to ever be alone or never will be. You can't be. It's impossible. God's given us his word. What did he say repeatedly here in Haggai? What were his two great promises? Haggai 1:13, I am with you. Haggai 2, verse 4, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I know, but it's hard. We can't see him. No, but I mean, I know it's true, but I don't see him. I feel like he's not there. You ever say that? I just feel like he's not there. He doesn't care. What does the word say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I know, but I don't feel like he cares. Casting all your... Doesn't matter what you feel. I know, but I'm afraid. I just don't feel like he's there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I mean, is that either true or false? I will never, Hebrews 13, I will never, that's only for the child of God. I will never leave the earth. Now, you either have to believe that or you don't. And that is based on the very character of God. I will never. I know, but I've been abandoned by people. God's not a person. I know, but I've been hurt by, God's not, sorry, that's not God though. I know, but I don't want to put my trust out there because I've done that before and been burned. We're talking about God. God's never burned you. God's never lied to you. God's never turned his back on you. And God can't. And God says, I will never leave you. So if God calls you to a foreign country that's dangerous, he's with you. Just as much as he's with you here. In fact, it would be better for you to obey God and go to that dangerous country than to stay in this country and be out of the will of God. Because you would be out of the will of God in this country rather than where God called you. If God's called you to go somewhere that's scary, that's maybe scary in man's eyes, but not to God. I'm with you. I am with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you read the next verse in Hebrews 13, the next verse says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's based on I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is, I know, but we're going to go out soul winning, and this is a dark area, and the people here don't, doesn't matter. I've got the Lord of hosts with me. I know, but that's so scary. We don't know what's going to answer the door. Just look behind. You've got your Father with you. It's okay. He'll never leave nor forsake me. I know, but it's. But I'm the only one, I think, in my entire workplace or school or college, and as far as you know. And I'm with thee. I am the Lord of hosts. If you're a child of God, his presence is always with you. His Spirit permanently indwells you. His word is never bound. And that's what Apostle Paul said repeatedly. I may be in prison, but the word of God's not bound. You and I may not be able to, but the word of God is not bound. God's word is eternal. God is eternal. And as a child of God, number one, I should never fear or be afraid because I have the Lord of hosts. Number two, I'm never alone and never will be. Now, if you lock onto that and believe that with all your heart, I wonder how that would change your spirit and your attitude. I'm never alone. He's always with me. Now, again, you'd have to repeatedly meditate on that or you'll soon forget that. That's the problem. That's why the spiritual life is one of staying in the Word, staying close to the Lord, always being right there with Him, saturating your mind in the Word of God. You say, I've got the craziest, most stressful day of all time. Good, get up an hour earlier, right? I know, but I've got to have that sleep. No, you don't need that sleep. You need a whole hour with the Lord. And I'm preaching to myself here because I got to spend extra time with the Lord if it's going to be one of those days. If it's going to be, if a Monday, I've got to get up extra early because I need the Lord even more. I need the Word of God. Number three, our final truth this morning. Because our great God is the Lord of hosts, number one, I need never fear or be afraid. Is there anything you're fearful or afraid of right now? Decision you've got to make. Again, you've got to bathe it in the Word of God. You've got to be confident that what you're doing is God's Word. You may need to receive some counsel, but if you're convinced of it, it's time you need to do it. You need never be afraid. Number two, I'm never alone and never will be. Impossible. No matter where you go, no matter where you're at. Even if you're abandoned by every human person, family, friend, spouse, nobody. Paul said that in 2 Timothy. But the Lord is with me. The Lord's not abandoned me. He's with me. I may be getting close to the chopping block, but God has never abandoned me. Number three, our final one, because God is our Lord of hosts, I am to walk by faith and rely on his power. I'm to walk by faith and rely on his power. That's the whole message in the book of Haggai. Consider your ways, saith the Lord of hosts. Change your ways. Work. It's time. Now's the time. Right now. Now, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with thee. Now we're going to look at in next week and upcoming weeks, guess what? Opposition comes. And any believer knows it's coming. Any believer doing any amount of anything for God knows it's coming. If you've never faced any opposition, you really haven't done anything for the Lord. Because it's going to happen. The devil does not sit idly by while the gospel or the kingdom of God is advanced. Be it in your school, your home, your own family perhaps. your neighborhood, your job. If you're going to do what God says to do and the Spirit God says to do it, there's going to be opposition. And opposition's about to come. And they're going to try to shut down the work just like happened 15 years before. Oh, and some people say, see, I told that would happen. I knew we shouldn't have started. Get those kind of people that discourage you even more. See, what's going to come after this message? And we're going to see what happens to this group of people. Because the reminder is, the Lord of hosts has said to do it. I'll take care of all the rest. So that final truth is, because our God is a great God and a God of the Lord of hosts, I, as a child of God, you are to walk by faith and rely on His power. If right now I said, get up in small groups, and I want you each to go around, start with the oldest in your group of four, and tell the others how you are right now walking by faith. You know, a lot of believers have no idea what that even means. They have no idea. They have to either make something up. How are you walking by faith? Or would you say, let's switch it up. Go around and tell the last time you took a big step of faith and went and trusted in, how did God work? You know, there's a lot of believers, everything's calculated and analyzed. And has to be, and there's no real faith involved. The money you give is not a big deal. You can handle it. No faith involved in it. Maybe every love offering is simple. You got, okay, no big deal. You're never given in faith. I mean, like, whoa, I can't. I can't afford it. It's impossible. You got all the bills. There's no way we can do that. A step of faith, but I can't step down. I have a great job. I don't know what's next. I'm not saying that's for everybody. But I'm saying, when's the last time, if at all, you took a step of faith and relied solely on the power of God? There was nothing else. You weren't relying on anything else. It was, I've prayed, I've sought counsel, I know this is of God, I believe He wants me to do this, but I am very afraid, I don't know what's going to happen. But because He's the Lord of hosts, you and I are to walk by faith and rely completely on His power. And that's exactly what He told the people here. You're not going to build that temple in your own power. You're not going to overcome the enemy because of anything. I'm with you. My Spirit, I'll take care of it. And we're going to see Him take care of it. I'm with you. And his message is for the leaders too. Zerubbabel, you be strong. Joshua, you be strong. Hey, you people, you be strong. I am with you. Fear not, saith the Lord of hosts. And then He gives that great promise. Down the road one day in the future, I will do this. And that's those great promises, verses 6 through 9, that has yet to be fulfilled. In a little while, I will shake the heavens. I will shake all nations. I know, but look who's in control. What about Russia and Ukraine and Hamas and Israel and America? I mean this with all sincerity. I'm not alarmed. Are you? Are you fearful in any way? You and I need to do our part, but I mean, read the scriptures. What was happening during the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire. What was happening with the gospel and churches and exactly what God said. How much talk is there in the New Testament about the Roman Empire? And about overthrowing the Roman Empire? And getting rid of all the Roman. God says, I've given you a job to do. Do it. Do it until I come. Keep the focus on what I've given you. Advance the gospel. Advance the kingdom of God. Hold the fort, if we could, that great hymn. Occupy till I come. Hold fast my name. Be faithful even unto death. And I will give you the crown of life. What is God's focus on? You study the New Testament. You show me where I'm wrong. You read the New Testament. What's the thrust on? What's the epistles? What's the church epistles? What is the work of the Lord? What does He desire you and I to do, even in a wicked world today? The work that He's given you and I as a church, as a New Testament church, as individuals and believers. Here in Haggai, it was the actual temple, the physical house of God. But we don't live in those times anymore. We live in the New Testament and the dispensation of the church. God's clearly laid out exactly what He desires us to do as believers, as the children of God, until He comes. And you and I are to take that, believe it, and by faith, do it. Conquering fear, not worrying about if you're the only one, not worry about the numbers. One person comes out, do it. Five come out, great. 25, awesome. 150, you get a lot more done, but if it's five or six, we'll get it done. It's going to take a little longer, but it's going to get done. You do it at your house. You do it at your workplace. Take the gospel. Make it known. Build up believers. Make sure your family is saved. As the old saying, get your family in the ark. That's all you can do. Get them in the ark. Noah at least got his family in the ark. Make sure they know Christ. Pour yourself into them. Walk by faith and rely on his power. Because what is God telling the people? It's not you anyways. It's always me. It's always me. It wasn't David, it was me. It's not Gideon, it was me. It's not any of those. It's never by numbers. We go back and we read all of that. Sometimes we see God's humor, right? Gideon, now mighty man of valor. I mean, Gideon, we read, it's like, he was not a mighty man of valor. He was scared to death. He was questioning God. He kept making excuses. Now, mighty man of valor. And then he gather all the people. And then, don't you love it? They had a pretty good sized number. And God said, that's way too big. Way too big? Way too small? No, way too big. Knock it down. Okay, whoa, we're way down. Wait, still way too big. What? You know, God sees not as we. Then we get down to 300. And we say, way too little. And God says, okay, we're good. Because when you win the victory and see what happens, when you go soul winning and see some folks saved and your knees are knocking and your tongue's dry and you didn't go to seminary and you don't know all the answers about Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Buddhists and Islam, you know how to do all that kind of stuff. And then you say, whoa, wow, God, thank you. That was all you. Exactly. But I can't preach. I mean, I feel like I need to go to Nathan and say, Nathan, I'd like to share. Could I speak at the Cross and Tower? I've never done that before. I don't know if I can do that. You probably can't do it, but God can. I know, but I've never even exercised my spiritual gift ever. It's been sitting dormant for years. But I need to. You're right. You do need to. With his power and his strength. I know, but I'm too old. God says, no, you're not. I'm too young. No, you're not. You ever go through the Bible and see all those different examples? All the different ages? Too young. Nope. Too old. Nope. Nope. None of that. I'm the one right here. I'm the one. I'm just looking for willing vessels. Quit making all those excuses. I'm too old. Too old-fashioned. Not up with the times. Too young. Too inexperienced. Can't talk. Too educated. Not educated. Not wealthy enough. Bad background. You know my past. None of that has to do with anything. I am the Lord of hosts. He's looking for his children to follow him, to believe on him by faith. What is your faith in? In God himself, his character, his person, his word. You're claiming his promises. Have you ever seen God break any promise he's ever made? I mean, seriously, has he ever not kept his word? Has there ever been one time? Now, why is he going to start with you? You're not going to. Why don't you claim every one of them? I mean, we get scared today because sometimes if a charismatic, claim the word of God. If that's what he said, then he wants you to claim it. He wants you to believe it. And God delights in your faith when you do that. Because he's looking for faith and he's looking for his children to obey. If that's your marriage, do it. Child rearing, do it. Finances, do it. Forgiveness of someone, do it. Confession of sin, what will happen? Do it. Victory over giants, do it. Could be somebody in here today. If you went to your boss and confessed some things you've done, you could be fired and you could even be arrested. And yet, what does God want you to do? Talk about fear. Can you trust him? Can he handle it? Can he make something out of that? Now that's pretty extreme, and I don't have anybody in mind, but not uncommon. But from students, if you'd go to a teacher or a principal, but I might lose. Is he the Lord of hosts or is he not? Does he honor those that honor his word? What does the scripture say we have to do? I know, but God wants you to forgive someone. Does he want you? I know, but rubber meets the road. You find out if you really have any faith in God or only on the little things. What does God want you to do? Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. Aren't you glad the Lord's on your side? I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That's a verse I'm here to tell you today. That's the verse you must memorize. This is a huge area of struggle. You need to memorize Psalm 118:6. You need to memorize it. You need to meditate upon it. It needs to be your verse. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can man do unto me? I throw myself down at the foot of the Lord of hosts. What can man do unto me? What can man do unto me? If I obey God's word, what can man do unto me? If I confess it, what can man do unto me? Is my God not bigger than that? Is he not stronger than that? If I trust, what can man do unto me? Why am I so afraid? What am I scared is going to happen? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? By faith, you and I must accomplish his precepts, his work, his commands. And we should be doing it with joy. Not with our hand twisted behind our back. Okay, great. I go to church. I come back tonight. I'm singing to choir. Oh, it's choir time again. Oh, I got to teach children's church. Seems like it's always coming up. Nursery again. Praise the Lord. What a living examples of God's people. Serving the King of Kings with joy. Woo! All right. Wow. Maybe that's why so many are abandoning the faith. Maybe so many kids are like, we're supposed to serve the King with joy, and it shouldn't be faked or forced. It should be a result of a real living relationship with the Lord of hosts, the King of Kings. I want to finish by looking at Zechariah 4, where we'll be finished. We looked at this before. Now remember, Zechariah is a prophet at the same time Haggai is. These are the two men that are going to be prophesying to the people. God sends them as encouragers, challengers, convictors. We're looking at Haggai. We're really not looking at the book of Zechariah. But we've looked at this passage before. Zechariah 4:6. What a great verse. I think it's a great verse to finish on. The same group of people. It's the same leader, Zerubbabel. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Saith what? The Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel, you're the leader. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be. By the way, it's that same way today. God does not accomplish things by numbers. If you think if we had 500 in this church, we'd get more done, that's not necessarily true. Where does that stand in the Bible? God rarely ever works that way. That'd be awesome. Hey, if we had 500, that'd be awesome. 500 more people serving the Lord. 500 more people sharing the gospel. 500 more people. That'd be awesome. But if there's just four, there's four. If there's just 12, there's 12. And God says, you four, you 12, you one, I'm with you. You be strong. Don't be afraid. Don't look around and let the others knock you down. Would it be great to have others? Of course it would. But if you're the only one in your workplace, if you're the only one at your school, in your college, if you're the only one in your neighborhood, if you're the only one, by the way, we're rarely the only one, but if you are, it doesn't matter. I'm still the Lord of hosts. And it'll be by my power and by my might and not by yours. Because I am the Lord of hosts. What's God want you to do? Have some of you been balking at that? The last time you prayed that prayer, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Did God answer that prayer and you never acted on it? You prayed it. Did God tell you what to do and you still haven't done it? You let it die down and you think because it died down, God forgot about it. God says, no. You prayed, I answered. Maybe you never took a step of faith yet. Maybe God's not going to change his mind on that one now. 15 years went by. It's time to build the house. I haven't forgotten. It hasn't changed. Get it done. Right now, in my power, in my strength, with my word. And I praise God we have it recorded in the word of God that they did it. Was there hard times? Yes. Did they want to quit? Yes. Was it discouraging times? Yes. Did everybody do the work? Of course not. for those who did, they saw and experienced God's power. What step of faith is God wanting you to take today, this week? Will you do it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps the step of faith needs to take place right now during this invitation. Maybe when it comes invitation times, fear overwhelms you. Oh no, I could never get out. I could never come to the altar. I could never talk to somebody. Oh my goodness, what will people think? I know there's people looking. You're right, people look. You're not supposed to look, but people do. I would ask that heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're just going to have a very simple invitation. Now again, the message was for God's people. But you might be here today and we think you're God's person, but you're not. You've never been born again. And the greatest need is that you become a child of God today by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not asking Him to save you every week, every month, every year. Salvation is a one-time receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ, His free gift of salvation, and believing what the Bible says. Do you know that salvation is a step of faith? I believe what the Bible says. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that I'm a sinner on my way to hell. I believe that I cannot be rescued or saved by any good works or good deeds. I realize the Bible says my destiny is hell, but that God loved me and sent His Son, and Jesus died for me and paid for it on the cross. I believe that, and by faith, I am taking a step of faith and putting my faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I'm not trusting my feelings. I'm believing what the Bible says. I'm turning from my sins and I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save me and make me a child of God. One time and one time only for salvation is for eternity. If that's you, you need to do that today. As soon as you hear the piano begin to play, I'd encourage you to slip out. Just find your way to the back. We have a lady and a man back there. A lady will work with ladies. A man with man take you to a private room. No one will be embarrass you. No one's going to pressure you. You can ask questions. You're free to leave anytime you'd like. But if you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you need to get that settled, would you do that right now as the piano begins to play? In just a second, Shane's going to come and sing. But for right now, the piano is playing. If you need to be born again and trust Jesus Christ today and say, Lord Jesus, I want to become your child. I want to be saved from my sins. I want you to be my God, my Father, the Lord of hosts. Please save me. Would you slip out right now? You can do that right now. I encourage you to do that with somebody. Take a step of faith. Overcome the pounding heart, the fear. Don't worry about what people will think. Trust the Lord. Now, if you're here today and you've already done that, and you say, Pastor Boer, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can remember when that happened. I remember when it was. Maybe it was in this very church. Maybe it was at home. Maybe it was in Sunday school, Bible school, camp. Maybe it was in your car, your bedroom. I remember when I was convicted of my sin and saw myself as a sinner. I called upon the Lord to save me, and I remember when that was. That means you're a child of God. You're one of His. But perhaps the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you has convicted you today. Maybe you've been living in fear. Fear controls you like a puppet, keeps you from doing what God wants. Maybe you're worried all the time about being alone and always thinking God doesn't really care and He's not there. Maybe you're just paralyzed by inactivity. You've made excuses for why you're too old, too young, can't serve the Lord. And God has something He wants you to do. Would you take a step of faith? Our brother's going to come now and sing. If God's worked in your heart, the altar's open. You can kneel right there at the pew. Maybe you need to take that step of faith and go to someone and ask forgiveness. Confess a sin. Come see me at the front. Would you be willing to obey God?
When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see.
Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord, abide with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Where is all cease, He gives me peace. How can I
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're going to sing another stanza. And let the Holy Spirit work.
When I'm alone,
would you give it to the Lord if you're afraid?
Face the unknown,
what is it that you're afraid
and
of?
And I fear what the future may be.
Go to the Lord of hosts.
I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me.
Take a step of faith. Get that right today.
How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our final stanza, just the piano playing. Not here to try to have anybody make an emotional decision. There may be somebody that says, Pastor Boyer, if you only knew. If you only knew the person I've created, everybody thinks everything's great. But I'm just riddled with guilt, hypocrisy. But I think it's too late. There's too much to do. I don't think God can do it. God can. Don't keep holding on and living a fake life, a second life. Maybe that's you today. You say, God couldn't do it. I'm too afraid. I don't know what would have to happen. Trust the Lord. He's gracious. He's generous. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. There's not one person that God cannot help or forgive today if you're willing to trust Him, even if you have to start over. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, without Your Word, we wouldn't know You very well, Lord. You've revealed Yourself in Your Word so that we can know that You are a personal God, a powerful God, a loving, compassionate, faithful God, full of mercies. Lord, there's not one sin that You have never forgiven. There's not one person that's too far beyond, Lord, Your love and Your forgiveness. Lord, if there's anyone here today, I've done the best I can, Lord, as a preacher to open the Word of God. Lord, if there's anyone watching from home, anyone in the building today, Lord, that is still resisting Your Holy Spirit when it comes to salvation, oh Lord, please track them down today. Track them down in love until they turn to You and call out for salvation. Lord, if there's any children of God like Jonah running from You, Lord, living a lie, building lie upon a lie, it gets harder and harder to live that way, Lord. Anger and bitterness will take hold. It becomes hard to live that way. Oh God, give them mercy. Let them yield to You, Lord. If there's anyone that thinks that they cannot be used of God and serve You because of their past, oh Lord, I pray they'd see Your great mercy and love. Know that You are the great and mighty King of kings, Lord of lords, the Lord of hosts. There's nothing You cannot do. Oh Lord, help us as a small New Testament church right here in Duryea, a dark area, Lord, in Northeast PA. Lord, let us not quit. Let us not give up. Let us hold fast to the doctrines of Scripture. Let us serve You with joy. Let us be a light in this community. May this community know that we love the Lord, that we love the Word of God, that we love people, that we're willing, that we have the answer to help people, the Word of God. Lord, may we be about the Master's business until You come, never forgetting that You are with us. We are never alone. Lord, thank You for Your faithful promises. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, we know that You're with us if we're saved. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. May Your Word be our comfort and encouragement today, Lord, I pray. We ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us on Calvary and rose again. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.